Morning. I invite you to turn with me again to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13. Parents, get your children ready. Shake them if you have to. This lesson is particularly for them. They need the Word of God just as much as anyone else. Kids, grab your parents, shake them, because they're not allowed to fall asleep. They can perhaps pick something up along the way as well. Proverbs 13, hear now the Word of God, coming from verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Let's read that again. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Let's pray together. Father, without the gift of your Holy Spirit, we will have no ears to hear. We will not listen to your instruction. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit would descend upon us, that you would cause our minds and our hearts to be as wide as the ocean, so that we might soak in all that you have to speak to us today. For we ask it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. A nobleman was once banished from his kingdom. The day before he had to leave, he got all his things packed up, and he took his most precious gems, and he put them in a little casket. He entrusted it to one of his servants. The next day, he loaded up all his equipment except for those gems and headed out on his horse and buggy. Years later, the servant who had been given the charge of these gems began to fall ill. He saw that he had not much time left to live, so he went out to the estate and he found a young tree. He cut a hole deep within it and put the little gems inside, covered it over with the bark. Years later, then, the nobleman had opportunity to return from his exile, and he came and he found his estate in order as it ought to be, yet the servant was no longer there. He knew where the gems had been stowed away. Went out on the lawn of the estate. Now, by this time, the tree had grown into a mighty oak, much bigger than it once was. But he had cut down, and he looked there within the heart of that tree, and he found the gems. As pristine as it was when he left them. Glimmering with the same radiance in every single one there and accounted for. Friends, is this not what it's going to be like when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again? Every precious gem of God's eternal truth that has been deposited within our hearts is going to be sought out and found by our noble Lord. When He comes again, He is going to delight to find His treasure, His truth, deeply embedded within our hearts and radiating with the same glory it has when He first caused it to be written by the Spirit. Young people, I want you to understand today that the Word of God is of the greatest value, surpassing the value of anything that you in your mind can imagine. As a matter of fact, this book, the book of Proverbs, says that wisdom is greater than rubies, and knowledge is worth more than gold or silver. And it is to be your highest treasure, the thing that you prize above any other commodity in this world. We're going to have lots of goals in life. Wonderful, godly goals. You're going to someday set out and say, hey, I want to have a family and I want to have lots of kids, just like the brothers and sisters I grew up with. And that's going to be a wonderful thing. And God wants you to shoot for them. You're going to make it your goal to be an expert in whatever area you are in terms of your business, whether it's changing diapers as a mom or setting out into the world to conduct a business. Wonderful. Great goal. But your highest aim ought to be the acquisition of wisdom. Because that, my friends, is the greatest treasure. And when you store up truth and the knowledge of the Bible, you're building a wealth that is far greater than any bank could ever afford you. As we come to this passage of Scripture, we find that this very thing is being taught. We have in this proverb a teaching that tells us that God wants us to prize the precious gems of His Word. He wants us to love instruction. He wants us to be open and ready to receive teaching. In other words, we see here the importance of having a teachable spirit. You see in this passage, two men are being contrasted. One you might call a child of God. He is willing and open to the instruction that his father would give. You can call him a child of God because he's, through his father, gleaning from God. On the other hand, you have a man who might be called a child of Satan because he has shut himself off from whatever the Lord would speak to him and instruct him. So young people, I want you to consider these two figures and how God wants you to have a teachable spirit. Now again, the first figure that is put before us in this proverb is a child of God. We know he's a child of God because he's willing to listen to the instruction. It says, a wise son, I'd say a child of God, hears his father's instructions. And you can see why he's a child of God, because he's ready to receive this teaching, though it be from his earthly father. He is gleaning it mainly from the Holy Spirit, his Father in heaven. And that's why he's willingly listening to his father. And people want you to have that spirit, to be open to your parents. With this caveat, with this exception, I don't want you to think that this verse is saying that you have to obey every single thing your parents say. I've got your attention now, don't I? It's assuming that the father in this passage is assuming that he's a godly man. He's teaching you godly things. And if your dad happens to be wicked, or if your dad is a pretty good guy, but he's oftentimes wrong, not as often as you think, but if he's wrong, you have the authority, no matter if you're 4-year-old, 3-year-old, 15, 17, you have the authority to say to him, I don't have to obey that. You can even blame it on me. Preacher said, I don't have to. What is being said here is that your father is teaching you anything that's in accord with the Bible, anything that's right, anything that's true, anything that's lawful. If it's coming from your father's lips, then you obey it. If it doesn't, you just look at him and say with your biggest pride, I have to obey God rather than men. Pastor Stetson. That's what the Bible means in the New Testament. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I don't want you to be like little robots going around. Yes, sir. Yes, mother. Yes, yes. I'll do whatever you say. Oh, you're to obey your parents in the Lord. That is to say, whatever was willed by God, whatever is taught by God, whatever Jesus says, that's what you are to obey. And that's what you should embrace. Another thing I need to clarify, though, you not only need to embrace it when the teaching is right, you need to embrace it when the teaching is hard. People can look at this verse and says, you know, duh, obey your parents. I've been taught that ever since. I mean, they've been driving that one into my head. I'm supposed to obey my parents, yeah. But it's going to take a different light when you think about what the word instruction means. Some of you might have a different translation than I do. It might say, a wise son hears his father's discipline. The Hebrew word here has to do with the idea of correction. It might even have to do with punishment. It says that you need to listen to your parents, even if they correct you, even if they stick their finger at you and shake it, or even if they send you to your room, if they are correcting you, trying to get you to do the right thing, you need to be willing and open to say, yes, Father. That can be very hard to do, I understand. Anybody here like being punished? Oh, I love going to my room without my dinner. I love it when I get that on my backside. Oh, it's not very good at all. You see how this is a little tougher nut to swallow. Nobody likes being corrected. Nobody likes admitting that they're wrong. Nobody, especially when you're being disciplined, likes saying, he's right, I don't know. But if you're going to be a child of God, not just a child of your parents, you need to be willing and open to accepting that form of correction. The Bible tells us that if you want to be wise, you're going to listen even when it's hard to take. And it can be hard to take. I speak on behalf of all fathers, and I know that they can just get on you. Seems like they're getting on you all the time. Come up to you and say, I don't like the way you've been treating your mother. And you just, that just sets you off. What are you talking about? I do everything she says. I don't have a choice. I do it all. Yeah, you do. She has to tell you 3, 4, 5 times first. And when you do, oftentimes it's you roll your eyes, you sigh, and you say, fine, like you've just been defeated. You finally have to give in just to get her off your back. That's the only reason you're doing it. Well, you know that you're not treating her with the honor that she deserves. Oh, the embers in your room just want to flare up like just being picky. You're right, he is being picky. But you know he's right, too. You know he's right. If you haven't been honoring your mother and doing what she says the first time and doing it with a cheerful spirit, you know that's wrong and you need to fix that and you need to make sure that you are doing it right and right away. It can be hard to honor your dad, especially when it comes to him correcting you all the time. Sometimes as fathers, I'll admit, that's what we feel like we do it all the time. Do this, do that, do that, da, 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 da. And you feel like a machine gun's being fired at you. Pow, 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 pow. So you just want to say, stop it! Why, son, though? No matter how hard he comes down on you, how hard your mom comes down on you, can be one who listens and heeds those words. You know, I kind of tease and I kind of make some jokes up here, but I'm serious. Sometimes it's really hard. When you go today, it's not going to be here. You're not going to be out here 10 minutes, and it's going to feel like that father monkey is right on your back. If you need some encouragement to heed his words, I just want you to remember Jesus. The book of Hebrews, it tells us that Jesus came into this painful world and he learned obedience. You know, Jesus never did anything wrong. He never had to be corrected. But he didn't have to learn obedience. He learned obedience through his suffering. That is to say, he was so willing to listen to his heavenly Father that he was willing to do whatever the Father asked him to, no matter what trial or pain that he was willing, that he was, that was put before him. He was willing to do it. He was willing to heed his Father, no matter where it took him. Even if it meant going to the cross. Do you think you have it bad? Just remember what Jesus did. That he did it for you and for your salvation. And that you are now called as a child of God who has been adopted into his family to hear your heavenly Father saying, "Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Jesus had a teachable spirit, and if you're going to be a child of God, you have to have one too, heeding your Father's instruction, heeding his discipline, heeding it even when it's hard to take. Or as if a child of God has a teachable spirit and is attentive to his Father's instruction, you would expect that a fool or a child of Satan is going to be directly the opposite. And you're right. You see in the second half of this verse that a child of Satan is deaf to instruction. Look at it and you see that it says, a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Here you have again one who is completely deaf to God. He's picked up the remote control and he has hit the mute button and said, "Nah, I'm not listening. Na 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 na." That's the technical definition of a scoffer. Look it up in the Hebrew, you'll see. Scoffer is one who laughs at truth, who mocks the right. He just looks at it. Had a friend who called his dad Ralph. Ralph was his dad's name. He says, "Oh, Ralph. You gotta call him Dad. You don't call him Ralph. Ah, you know, Ralph." He started making fun of his dad. So he's being talked about. And you see how satanic this guy is. He's completely shut off God. He's shut off his parents, the ones who are teaching on behalf of God. Nothing wants, doesn't want anything to do with God or God's way, just like Satan himself. I want you to glean a couple things from the second half. I want you to see just how general this is. In the very first part of this verse, it was very specific. A wise son specifically listens to his father. But here, in the second half of the verse, it doesn't mention his father. It doesn't mention really anybody. It's very open-ended, isn't it? A scoffer just doesn't listen to rebuke at all. The point is this. If you're not willing to listen to your father, you're not going to be willing to listen to any authority. Because your father is your most basic and most important teacher in your life. Your mother, as your father's helpmate, is the most important teacher in your life. The most important authority. And if you're not going to listen to them, you are going to be someone who blows off any authority. Whether it be an elder in the church, a friend, a government official, police officer. You're going to become a complete menace to society then. Because you're only a law unto yourself. Derek Kidner in his commentary says, if you cannot stand home truths from your own father, you're well on your way to becoming insufferable. It's just a fancy way of saying you're going to be an uncontrollable fire. Young people, have you seen on TV those fires out west that burn acres and acres? Forests are just being charred in instant. Just goes wherever the wind blows. That's what a person doesn't listen to their father's life. Grows up not listening to any authorities. Ends up having a lot of frustrated relationships, his friends, his other family members. Someday gets a wife or some spouse. Ends up having a burned relationship because he's not willing to listen to correction. Not willing to listen to God so that all these relations may work out well. This verse is telling you. It's very open-ended. Reminding you that you must first obey your parents in the Lord, or there will be consequences. Note how picky it is. It's not just open-ended in general, but it's also very picky. Kind of ironic. The offset here, being open yet picky. You know, I mentioned again a few minutes ago how your dad can be very picky. Why is it that he's picky all the time? Because he knows that he's not picky in these small things, that they can begin to crescendo, they can begin to snowball. You know what I mean when I have the snowball effect? Climb up a mountain, make a snowball to throw at your brother, wind up and you toss it at him. By some chance, he ducks. Snowball hits the ground, begins to roll down the mountain, gathering more and more snow to it. Becomes bigger and bigger and bigger until at the bottom of the hill the thing is gargantuan and it has the ability to cause havoc in something that it crashes into. That's why your parents are so picky. Because they know if they don't deal with these little things that they have the potential of becoming great big things down the road. What a decimal point. What could be smaller than a decimal point? You're mad, you're doing your work, you get the assignment, you run through it. You give it to your mom, you give it to your dad, they start checking it, they say, do it again. What? What's wrong? I said, you forgot your decimal point. Oh! Come on! They're being picky, yes, but they're being picky for a reason. Because you forgetting that decimal point is more than just a little dot on the page. It's sloppy work. It's showing that you're not being as diligent and thorough as you ought to be in your work. It's showing that you're a slugger, a lazy person who's just rushing through things to get it done. Please, whoever, so you can go off and do your own thing. They don't care about the decimal point so much as what it means in your heart and what it could lead to. Decimal point means something later on in life when you go to the bank, doesn't it? If you're behind the teller and you don't put your decimal point in and you give somebody $1,000 rather than $100, big mistake. You're writing a check and you don't put your decimal point in. You write a check for $1,000 rather than a dollar. Makes a big difference. It's sloppy work. Your parents don't want that to snowball. You know, when I coached my daughter's soccer team, I would always begin by having them do some warm-ups. And the very first thing I do is have them run around the field. Make sure you stay outside the line. Little girls go off. Last thing they want to do is play soccer. Inevitably, there'd be one girl, at least one girl, who cuts the corner. And I say, do it again. Coach Matt! Do it again. You go out there, they run around, cut the corner again. Do it again.
We ran twice around. Doesn't that make one?
No! Do I care about them how far? No, I care about them doing what I say, because I know if they just cut the corner and not do what I say on the warm-up at the very beginning of practice, later on they'll find a lot of other things that they can cut corners with. They can get by with cutting a corner. They know that Coach Matt won't be so particular later, and they can do a whole lot more to make practice miserable. Who cares about soccer practice? Let me tell you a different story. Once led a Bible study for some men who were recovering alcoholics. And as I sat with those men and talked about what led to this point in their life where they were slaves to drinking and drugs, I always found out that they did not wake up one morning and say, you know what? I want to be an alcoholic. And start chugging away. It was always a gradual process. It started ever so small. COVID was just staying now just a little bit past curfew. Parents said be home by 10. They were home by 10:15.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
Did that a couple times. Parents were kind of annoyed. You know, got on them a little bit. That's okay. It got to be about 10:30. Pretty soon they were staying out an hour later. During that hour, they started hanging out with people who were, you know, not the best influence, most upstanding citizens. And they were invited to certain parties. And they would go to those parties and they'd kind of say, here, have a drink. And they'd get to know, no, no. My parents taught me, just say no. They were pretty righteous at those parties. Have a smoke. They were on. Friends kept pressuring them at different parties. I said, okay, I'll just walk around at the party with it in my hand. Nobody will, you know, get on my back. I'll just satisfy them. I'll just take a little sip here. Everybody will see me taking a sip. They'll know I'm cool. Just take a puff or two. And I sat there with those men. And they recounted the history that led to those chains being shackled around them. I saw that they were regretting not just the bottle, or the lighter, or the needle. They were regretting small things. Don't gripe that your parents are picky. Be thankful that your parents are picky. Hear your father's instruction. Willingly attend to it. So if you don't have that kind of teachable spirit, if you're going to have that kind of arrogance that puffs your head up so far that your ears are swelled silent to your parents, then you've already started down the road that leads to death. There's a horrible future that may be in store. I want you to remember, too, that Satan had that same sort of pride. It's a small thing. He's a big angel. He's the greatest angel. He said, I could go one step further and be greater than God himself. When he rebelled, God pushed back, threw him down. One day, Satan's going to be thrown into the lake of fire, and all his children who have not heeded the Lord's instruction but have hated and mocked it and despised it by not taking heed to it will be thrown into that lake. One of the most elegant jewels is a diamond. The most beautiful thing to look at is a diamond sparkling in the sun. When I got my wife her engagement ring, the thing she loved to do was just sit there and look at it. Watch it sparkle. What a diamond is, it's a glorified piece of coal. It's an ugly, black piece of coal. You make a diamond by taking that lump of coal and you put pressure on it. And over time, that pressure builds up to the point where it starts to become a diamond. Some guy goes down into a mine and he gets that diamond out and he takes it to a jeweler. And then the jeweler takes that lump of diamond and he begins to chisel at it. Makes cuts so that it smooths out the edges so that they have that sparkle. Then that jeweler sets it in a ring so that when a man comes to get it, he can see just the most wonderful diamond in his brow. It's the way it is for the child of God too, young people. You have to be like a diamond. Your parents start pressuring you and putting the heat on you. You got to remember that they're doing it because they want you to become one of the most precious gems. When your mom is harping on you, you have to remember that she is chiseling away the rough edges of your life so that you might be presentable one day, standing up as a child of God when Jesus returns, spotless, blameless, for His glory. Remember, they want to present you to the Lord Jesus Christ as one of His precious jewels. song that is in my hymn book at home. Precious jewels, precious jewels. Jewels, it's the lullaby. These jewels are the children who Jesus will one day come and grab for himself. And if you have ears to hear, let your ears be attentive to this pulpit and to your parents and ultimately to God himself, so that you might truly be a child of God. Let's pray. Father, we recognize that this word is not just for young people. As we grow up, we can become even more hardened in our stubborn ways. And we pray, Father, that our Heavenly Father would always break through those barriers, would chisel away the hardness that has calloused our ears and our hearts. Father, we do pray that you would indeed help us as parents to be attentive to your word so that we might instruct our children properly. And we pray most especially for these precious, dear ones who are under our wing. Lord, we pray that they would be crowned with glory as they receive teaching after teaching and grow in the wisdom and the fear of God. Lord, may it be that one day when you return, Providence Church is filled with many precious jewels. For we ask it in Jesus' strong name. Amen.